lied to you last week. I told you that was going to be our last sermon on the series on disabled people, and then the Lord had me to recant. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. And I know I've preached this probably a couple times in the last couple years, but I believe somebody needs to hear it this morning. Mark chapter 10. We're going to begin reading at verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we are word people here, that we hang on your word. We stand on your word. We hunger for your word. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit now and speak to our hearts this morning as we, Lord, wait patiently to hear a word from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So this is a story of Jesus passing through the city of Jericho. Jericho, of course, has its history. It was there that Joshua took the great wall, Jericho City. Amen. And so this town has a history of spiritual power. This town has a history of demonic forces falling. And in this town, there is a man who is a blind beggar whose name is Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is sitting by the highway begging. Now, the first thing we learn about this is, of course, Bartimaeus is blind. He understands his ailment. We have been talking for weeks about disabled people and the text from Revelation 3 that Jesus said to the last day church, you think you can see, but you're blind. You think that you are full, but you're hungry. You think you're clothed, but you're naked. But Bartimaeus knows he's blind. And I think that we've pretty much beat this into the ground, that hopefully each of us have examined ourselves and we know our own ailment. Amen. We know our weakness. We know our besetting sin. We know that thing, that area of our life that we need to get in line with God's love and God's grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. So, you know, it's not wrong to have a besetting sin. It's not wrong to have a stronghold. As long as you understand what it is and are and letting God heal it and deal with it. Amen? Because none of us are perfect. We're all blind. Jesus said the last day church was blind. But the problem was not that they were blind. The problem was that they didn't know they were blind. Right? So Jesus is not going to condemn you for your blindness or your nakedness or these things. But he's asking you to do something about it. First of all, recognize it and then do something about it. Bartimaeus understood that he was blind. The second thing he did is that he sat. Blind people don't go anywhere. Sometimes you and I are guilty, maybe not you, certainly I, of trying to fix things. Oh no, what are we going to do? Let's go fix this thing. And yet if I am spiritually blind, how can I fix it? Jesus said that the Pharisees were blind leading the blind, and the result of the blind leading the blind is that they both would fall in the ditch. Bartimaeus had enough sense to know that he was blind, so he's sitting. He can't do anything in his condition. God's got to change his condition before he can get up and do anything. Amen? Amen. And you and I cannot do anything for God until God changes our condition. We need to sit and wait on God to change our condition. And then, and only then, can you and I get up and do something that has any eternal purpose. Amen. The third thing that Bartimaeus, the blind man who was sitting, he was in a position of waiting. Amen. When you sit, you are in a position of waiting. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. People say, well, your church isn't growing. Well, I'm waiting for it to grow. I'm not getting in a hurry. It will grow when God says it will grow. God will add to the church daily in His time. What are you doing about it? I'm waiting. I'm waiting on the Lord. God is in control. And sometimes in our life, we go through seasons of drought. We go through seasons of despair. We go through seasons where we have to sit. And God is saying, don't get up. Don't try to fumble around in your blindness. Just sit down and wait. I'm going to come in my time. Amen. God is not on my schedule. God is not on your schedule. God is on His schedule. He knows all things. He's in charge. He's got it together. Just sit and wait on the Lord. Amen. Whew. I'm just getting started, guys. Hang on to your bootstraps. After Jesus died and was risen, He told His disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait till they be endued with power on high. Say, when did the church start? You know, some people say the church started at the cross. No, the church did not start at the cross. The church started on the day of Pentecost, because you can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Ghost flowing through you. Amen. That's when the church started, and the church did not start when Jesus died. It didn't start when He was risen from the dead. It didn't start in all of those days that He kept popping in and out of their living rooms after the resurrection. And it didn't start when they got to Jerusalem. It started when they waited for the power of the Holy Spirit to fall on the day of Pentecost. The words of Jesus is, you want to do something, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Go and wait. That kind of rubs us wrong, doesn't it? But Lord, I'm ready to go. No, I want you to go and wait. But Lord, I heard Jesus is passing by. Well, just sit down. You're blind and just wait for your opportunity. Amen? There was the lame man that Jesus met. He was waiting for the stirring of the water. He asked Jesus. Jesus asked him. He said, I don't have anybody to put me in. I'm waiting for the stirring of the water so I can be healed, and I don't have a man to put me in. One thing that we do wrong is sometimes we wait for the wrong thing. He's staring at the answer. The answer is staring him in the face, and he's waiting for some other man to put him in the water. God wants us to wait, but the object of our waiting is not another man. The object of our waiting is Jesus. I'm not waiting on my I'm not waiting on the governor. I'm not waiting on the president. I'm not waiting on my banker. I'm waiting on Jesus to come and do His work. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the highway. The highway. If you're going to beg, you could go down to the end of an alley that nobody goes down. You go to the highway. I mean, it depends on if you want to get any money or not, right? You know, I mean, some of this stuff is kind of common sense, right? I mean, beggars have enough common sense that they get out right where a major intersection is, you know. They don't go down some dark alley and say, well, maybe God will bless me down here because I'm humble. No, they go where the opportunity is, right? So he's going where the opportunity is. You know, we say it like this way. Where are you going? I'm going to church. What are you doing? I'm listening to a preacher. Before everybody showed up yesterday morning, work day, I listened to a little bit of TJ Day, because I'll get it out in a minute. You know, we hunger for holiness. We thirst for the moving of the Holy Spirit. And so we are beggars, and we are going where the opportunity is. I'm going to church. We're begging on the highway, not in the dark alley. We listen to preachers. We go to church. We get involved because we got enough sense to know that's how you do it, just like Bartimaeus. And then he begged. Now, James chapter 1, verse 22 says, Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Do you know that you can be self-deceived? It's one thing if somebody else deceives you. It's another thing when you're self-deceived. There are a lot of people who can quote verses to you, and they think by being able to quote the verse that they are okay. But James said, if you don't do what you quote, you are self-deceived. You are deceiving yourselves, thinking just because I know the verse, I'm okay. But you've got to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Amen? Bartimaeus knows he is blind. He knows he is blind. But if he just sat there and knew he was blind and thought, well, you know, I'm blind and I know it, so I'm just going to sit here and somehow God will take care of me, right? But he had to do something. He didn't just know the word. He was a doer of the word. He didn't just know he was blind. He was a doer of what blind people do. He began to beg, right? That's what blind people need to do, right? Can't go out and dig a ditch. He has to beg. We got through verse 46, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When he heard, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When he heard, Jesus was passing by. Elijah in the Old Testament prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Then he bowed down to the ground at the appointed time, and he began to pray for rain. And he asked his servant to go and look out over the ocean and see if he saw anything. And he said, I don't see anything, boss. And so he bowed and he prayed again. And he sent him again, I don't see anything, boss. And so he bowed and he prayed again. By the way, it's scriptural to pray until you get what you want, right? And the third time, he came back and he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's fist. And Elijah said, I hear the sound of abundant rain. I hear the sound of abundant rain. He didn't say, I heard wind. He said, I saw a cloud. But what Elijah heard was something in the spirit realm. You hear things in the spirit realm. I hear the sound of abundant rain. Amen? And this is what Bartimaeus heard, that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. Other people were there in the crowd, but his hearing was not natural hearing. It was supernatural hearing. It was the kind of hearing that other people don't always hear. He was tapped in to the Spirit of God, and he heard something that somebody else didn't hear. He heard opportunity at the hand of the Master. He heard it. He heard it. That's right. It's not natural hearing. It's Holy Ghost hearing I'm talking about. Other people hear it and they say, and you hear it and say, It's Holy Ghost hearing. It's Spirit hearing. You know, the Holy Spirit seeing is always preceded by Holy Spirit hearing. Think about this. You don't see God getting ready to move until you sense it in the Spirit. You hear it spiritually. You say, hey, God's getting ready to do something. I don't know that I've ever told anybody this because it kind of sounds egotistical. But I remember I was on my way to work in 2011, and I was by myself in the car driving to work, just probably listening to some tunes or something, just crossing the Arkansas River Bridge, and the birds were flying erratically. Now, I could have thought, well, those birds must be crazy this morning. They were just like darting in and out, you know? Yeah, maybe that was it. They know how I drive. But I heard something in the Spirit. And I said, something is happening in the heavens. The date was 9/11. 2001. I said out loud, something is happening in the heavens. There is a spiritual hearing that takes place. And Bartimaeus heard it. He tapped in to the hearing. Now, the crowd said that it's Jesus of Nazareth. This is the man who's from this town. Jesus of Nazareth. But that's not what Bartimaeus said. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, what? Son of David! Have mercy on me. He didn't use his natural pedigree. He used his supernatural pedigree. He's not Jesus of Nazareth. He's Jesus the Messiah. He's Jesus who comes through the lineage of King David. He is the King, the King. The crowd sees him as the man, but this blind man sees him as the King. The King is coming. Now, if you were broken, you needed money, would you go to a Skid Row drunk or would you go to the bank president? Hopefully you'd have enough sense to go to the bank president, wouldn't you? And the reason that God does not do more for you and I is because you are not desperate enough and you don't understand just how blind or naked or miserable you are. But when we, you and I, understand our spiritual poverty, and when you and I get desperate about our spiritual poverty, then we have a King we can go to. Amen? And when we begin to understand where I'm at and who I am associated with, then we begin to cry as Bartimaeus cried. Now, three things that Bartimaeus knew that much of the church does not know today. Three things. Number one, his condition. He knew his condition was blind. He knew it. He didn't pretend he was not blind. He didn't, go to church and put on a face. He knew he was blind. He knew his condition. Number two, he knew who could change his condition. He was not hobnobbing with the socialites of the day. He was screaming for the King to make a difference in his life. He knew his condition. He knew who could change his condition. And I love number three here. You ready for this? He knew he was within voice range of the King. You know why we don't pray often enough? Because we see Jesus way up there and us way down here. But Bartimaeus knew he was within voice range of the King. And Jesus taught us that our Father in heaven sees the sparrow fall and knows the hairs on your head. I'm here to tell you, we are in voice range of the King. We are right here in voice range of the King. He's not hard of hearing. Amen. When Peter was cast in jail in the book of Acts, the Bible says that the church began to pray. Peter was in jail, and the Bible says in the book of Acts, but prayer was made by the church and to God for Peter. But prayer was made by the church unto God for Peter. We understand that we are the church. We pray to God on behalf of another, and God does a miracle. God sent an angel in. He opened the prison gates. Peter walked out in a daze, didn't even know, he thought it was a dream, and found himself outside the prison walls. Because prayer was made by the church and to God for Peter. And you and I are within voice range of the King. Why don't we pray more and let God change our circumstances? Come on, Bartimaeus, teach us something this morning. And the thing that Bartimaeus prayed for was mercy. God's unmerited favor. I've had people say, well, I just couldn't do that. You don't know what I did. Join the crowd. We all did it, man. Ain't none of us righteous. No, not one. Every one of us that'll get to heaven, we're going to get there by one word, mercy, 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 mercy. We're all sinners. Mercy. Mercy. God's unmerited, unwarranted favor. I don't deserve it. I ought not to have it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Mercy. I know what you did. I know where you've been. I've got it all in a book, but I blotted it out by the blood of Jesus. Mercy. You stung me for the last time. I got my thumb. I could squish you in a half a second, but I'll pull it away. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And Bartimaeus was smart enough to know this blind beggar sitting on the highway in Jericho was smart enough to know what to shout to the king. Mercy! Glory to God. Mercy. Now the crowd tried to shut him up. Verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet. You're not acting dignified. We're not that kind of church here. We don't do that kind of stuff here. You need to sit down and be quiet. You're going to cause a commotion. People are going to think we're one of them holy roller churches. What's the matter with you, boy? Be dignified. We don't believe in none of that stuff at this church. You know what? Tell a blind man you don't believe in healing. You know, he don't care what you say. He don't care what kind of bylaws you have at your church. He's desperate for a miracle. Amen? Amen. When you're desperate for a miracle, you don't care. Some good old brother laying in a hospital bed, the doctor said you're going to die, and his pastor comes in and says, well, you know, we don't believe in healing, so let me just fluff your pillow, make you comfortable till you die. Hey, get this guy out of here. Get one of them other preachers in here. I'm getting ready. Change my doctrine. I need a miracle. Amen. And so they warned him to be quiet. But look at what it says. He cried out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out all the more. He wasn't afraid to be heard. You know, when you're desperate, you really don't care what people think. You know, I've been on both sides of it, you know. Got a little embarrassed by the way someone acts. But, you know, God had to fix me. Because, you know, when a person's desperate, they don't care what people think. They don't care what people say. They don't care what people say about them. They don't care. One of them $50 words called tenacious. It means I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. You can't shut me up. Tenaciousness is God's formula for success. Tenaciousness is God's formula for success. Keep swinging. One day they called the prophet Elisha, the king of Israel and the king of Judah. They were going against the enemy, and they wanted a word from God. Are we going to be successful? And Elisha is an old man now. This is the last miracle of Elisha. Elisha, of course, prayed for a double portion of God's Spirit, and he did twice as many miracles as Elijah. And the last miracle he did, he's sitting there, he's an old man. And these guys, and if the king of Israel, which was the more wicked of the divided kingdom, it came to him alone, he said, I wouldn't even help you, but since the king of Judah's with you, I guess I'll help you out. Judah was considered the conservatives of the day. And he says, open the window. So they open the window. He says, grab your bow and arrow. Shoot it out a little ways. And he says, now take your arrows. Bang them on the floor. They banged them two or three times. Dag nabbit. Should have shot the arrow farther. You should have kept swinging a little bit harder. You're only going to win a couple battles now. If you'd have swung a few more times, you'd have won them all. What's the moral of that story? Keep swinging. Just keep swinging. But you don't know what happened. Just keep swinging. But you don't know what she did. Keep swinging. But you don't know where I've been. Keep swinging. Just keep swinging. Just keep swinging. Be tenacious. Keep swinging. The crowd tried to shut him up, but he shouted all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Don't ever tell me to shut up. Don't ever tell me you can't say that. I was an airman first class in the Air Force, waiting on my third stripe because that meant more money. And I found out they had a thing called senior airman below the zone. You went up before boards and they gave you your stripe about 6 months early. And I got put in for it because I was a hard worker and my uniform was usually in pretty good shape and my hair most of the time wasn't touching my ears. And my boss put me in for senior airman below the zone. And so they had a board in our organization, Air Force Global Weather Central, where all of the people of the different departments went in and you answered military questions, you did your facing movements, you know, and all this. And you walked out. And they gave you an opportunity to say something about yourself. And so I said, well, I'm a born-again Christian, and I believe that Reaganomics is not going to solve the problems, that it's a sin problem, and people need Jesus. Thank you. Goodbye. And walked out. And this was a practice board to get you ready for the main board. And so then they called you in afterwards to critique you. And then, well, you didn't get this question right, and the only five-star general of the Air Force was Hap Arnold. And, oh, by the way, it's good that you're involved in your community and your church and all that, but this sin thing, don't talk about it. Jesus thing, we don't want to hear any of that. Don't say that. Yes, sir. So then came the day to go to the actual real thing. Go in, do your facing movements, you know, sit down, answer the questions. Anything else you want to say about yourself? I'm born again Christian. Reaganomics isn't going to solve the problems of the world. It's a sin problem. They need Jesus. Thank you. Goodbye. Don't tell me I can't say something. That afternoon, I'm walking down the hall, Master Sergeant Freeman. Stripes down the sleeve. I got two. He's got six or something. Airman Jones, I thought we told you not to say. I said what Peter said before the Sanhedrin. How can I but speak the things that I have seen and heard? Amen. Well, I just wrote it off. All right, well, so much for my stripes 6 months early. Lo and behold, I got it. The fear of man is a snare. It's always safer to do it God's way, regardless of the lies the devil is screaming in your ear. Shut up. Be quiet. Don't say anything. Tell me not to say anything. Look out, devil. Amen. Verse 49. So Jesus stood still. Did that say what I think it said? Jesus stood still. A blind beggar on the highway of Jericho stopped God in his tracks. Jesus stood still. Look at your neighbor and say it with me. Jesus stood still. He stopped Jesus. He got the God of the universe's attention. You know, sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind around this because we think in linear time. So we say, how can Jesus hear me when there's all these other people talking to him at the same time and there's people around on the other side of the earth being persecuted? How can he hear me? He doesn't live in my time. There's no time where he's at. You can't interrupt him because time doesn't exist where he's at. He can hear you and then he can hear this guy and then he can hear this guy. And no time has passed because he doesn't live in our time. You can get his attention today. Amen. Today. He's waiting for you to stop him in his tracks. It was not a physical shout. It was a shout of faith that stopped Jesus. People were shouting all day long. People are shouting today. That's not what stops Jesus. It's faith that stops Jesus. And Bartimaeus had that faith. He had heard what other people didn't hear. He had experienced what other people didn't experience. And he knew that this was not Jesus of Nazareth. This was the Son of David. This was God in the flesh. I'm going to stop that man. I've got to stop that man. Faith stopped Jesus. And if a blind man can stop Jesus, so can I. So can you. If a blind beggar sitting in the dirt in Jerusalem and in Jericho 2,000 years ago can stop Jesus, so can we. I can do this. I got this. Hallelujah. And so he commanded him. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. This is the same crowd that was telling him to shut up before. Keep that in mind, right? Keep that in mind. People are fickle. They are. They're like, I don't want any of your religion. And then when they have a disaster, you're like, will you pray for me? Yeah, I don't really want to go to church. I'm dying of cancer. Will you pray for me? They're fickle. Then they want what you got. Faith stopped Jesus. And they commanded him to be called. Only commanders can command. He's the commander. He has the king's authority. Everyone is called to do a work, to be called. Tom may say, I clean the church. Carolyn might say, I run sound for the church. But the Bible teaches us that everything we do for the glory of God. Amen. Paul told Timothy, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart unto God, fearing God. I played the drums for Jesus, not for you. I preach sermons for Jesus, not for you. I do what I do because he called me to do it. And each one of us have been called to do a work for him. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Amen. And then, verse 50, throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. He cast away his beggar's garment. He cast them away. I don't need these anymore. Now, there are people who like to keep a reserve. You ever known those kind of people? There are people who are storing up food because they think, well, we might go through the tribulation. There are people who have a bunch of guns and bullets because when they start, the food goes away, people are going to break down my door and I'm going to shoot them all so I keep my food. Brother, you ain't got enough bullets. If it comes to that, you might as well just hang it up. You know, there are people who do that. They've got this ace in the hole. But you know what? If God is God, and I believe he is, then I don't need my beggar's garments. I don't need a backup plan in case it doesn't work. I don't need a backup plan because it's either going to work or I got the wrong God. And I got the right God. He's got it. He's got the goods. And so he cast away his beggar's garment. It is casting away the past. It's casting away other associations. It's casting away occupation. It's letting go of insecurity and hang-ups and fears because God has called me into his presence. He has commanded me to come. I have got his attention. He has stood still for me. And if you are to go to Jesus, you must let go of those beggar garments. You must let go. You cannot have it both ways. You have to let go. Verse 51. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? You have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lusts. He's not saying, do you want a giant screen TV? Right? It's not about consuming on his lust. What he wants is something that's legitimate. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. He's hungering to be able to see again. What do you want? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus says to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Your faith in action has made you whole. Amen. Now, that it is not faith without Jesus. We're not believing in positive thinking or transcendental meditation. The only one who can heal is the healer. The only one who can fix something broke is the one who built the thing. Amen? I can't just have positive thinking and I'm not God. Shirley MacLaine standing on the shores of California screaming, I am God! She's going to have a drastic awakening when she stands before the throne. And he says, sorry, Shirley, you ain't it. Only God is God, and only God can heal. Amen? So he is the object of our faith, and his power is the benefit of our faith. And when we put our faith in the object of our faith, we reap the benefit of our faith, our healing. Amen? Come on up, Nola. Hallelujah. Jesus told him, your faith has made you whole. Praise God. Now, obviously, I would be amiss after preaching such a sermon to give us an opportunity to be healed or delivered or set free or whatever it is, whatever your ailment may be. You know, we're opening the altars. We're going to pray. And if you understand that the King is within voice range, and if you have the Bartimaeus kind of faith, you won't leave here the way you came. In Jesus' name. Come on up, anybody that needs prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's remember those that we prayed for today. You know, I can stand in for someone else. I can take my faith and believe for them. Let's also remember our unsaved loved ones this morning. Let's believe for them because the King is in voice range this morning. Amen. Let's not waste this thing. Let's take advantage of it. Amen. I said the King is in voice range this morning. He can hear everything we say. And if we can stir up our faith this morning to the Bartimaeus kind of faith, I know that something is going to happen. We're going to see miracles happen today in Jesus' name because the King is here. Amen. And I'm laying aside my beggar's garments today. I'm laying aside. I don't have plan B. I'm in this for the whole thing. I'm in this for the long haul. Jesus is coming soon. I want to pray in my loved ones. I want to pray in prosperity. I'm tired of struggling with bills, and every time I get one thing paid off, something else breaks. Lord, I need a miracle in my life today, and I'm not asking you, Lord, to consume it upon my lust. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. I want to be able to give and not borrow. I want to be able to bless somebody else. I want to have enough to bless somebody else, Lord. I'm not satisfied with just getting by. You're the King. You're the King this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are here today and we are having the Bartimaeus kind of faith. Lord, the kind of faith that has recognized that the King is in within voice range today. And Lord, that we are men and women of faith. And so, Lord, we are not looking for Jesus of a town. We're looking for the Son of David. The King is here. And Lord, we believe that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or hope or think. And so today, Lord, hear our prayer. Hear our cry. Lord, it's the shout of faith. It doesn't have to be a physical shout because you're not hard of hearing. You can hear our heart just as you heard little Hannah's humble prayer and made her, Lord, bring forth little Samuel. You can hear our most silent whisper when we mix it with faith. Lord, I hear the sound of abundant rain. I hear the sound of men and women of faith crying out to a God who is not unmoved with compassion, who knows that they are people who have needs. And as prayer was made by the church and to God for Peter, so at Faith Fellowship on this day in February is prayer being made unto God on behalf of these needs. And Lord, we know that as you heard that first century church and delivered Peter, deliverance is coming and healing is coming and power and virtue is moving by the power of your Holy Spirit today. Oh Lord, we receive your power. We receive your healing. We receive your provision. We receive it today in Jesus' name. We receive it today in Jesus' name. We receive it today in Jesus' name. According to our faith, we receive our healing. According to our faith, we receive the provision. According to our faith, Lord, my sons are coming back to church. According to my faith, Lord, my loved ones are serving you in the ministry, Lord. I believe. I believe the devil is a liar, I believe. I believe, Lord, the king is in the within voice range. I believe, Lord. I believe that things are about to change. I receive it this morning, Lord. I receive your power. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your healing. I receive your deliverance. I receive your love. I receive it, Lord. I receive it in Jesus' name. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give us a song, Lord. Hallelujah. More, yes, Lord. More than yesterday, I need you more. Thank you, Lord.
Words can say I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more.
Do you need him more today?
Than ever before, I need you, Lord. Need you, Lord.
Thank you.
More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than my next heartbeat, more than anything, and Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side. Cause I never want to go back to the old one. I need you.
Hallelujah.
More
hallelujah.
Than
I need you more.
More than words can say, I need you more. Than ever before, I need you, Lord. Need you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We certainly need you. Lord, we understand our ailments, our blindness, but today we understand that we have a God, we have a King who is in ear range, and that we can stir up our faith and cry out for mercy, and he is moved by compassion and will give us, Lord, according to our faith, all that we need to heal our blindness, our nakedness, our despair. In Jesus' name, amen.